Okay, this morning we're going to talk, like I said, the first message, the first series in the church is about discipleship, because I think that's what we're all about. We're about being and making disciples. The first message is about purpose. Okay, purpose. Well, like I said, what are we doing here? When you talk about purpose and you think about the purpose in life, okay, why are we here? Why are we here? And look, it's a small group. If I say something, you guys want to speak out, please, please do. It's not a problem. So why are we here? It's a good question. Why? Well, because we're starting a church. Look, we're starting a church in Southern Johnson County. We're starting a church in the Kansas City area. How many churches are there in the Kansas City area? Hundreds. Hundreds. We are starting a church in the middle of a city in an area in the Midwest where there is absolutely no need for one more congregation. None. If we are going to start a church that is just like all the other churches around, there's no need to do that. We might as well just go hook up with somebody else who's doing this something and get involved in what they're doing. So we need to be very specific starting out this church, because somebody, and I'm telling you, many people have said, why in the world are you doing that? There's no need for another church in the Kansas City area. I've said it myself, because I've driven down roads and I have seen 3, 4, 5 churches in a row. We're not talking separated by houses or businesses. We're talking 3, 4, 5 churches in a row. You guys have seen the intersections. You can go up to an intersection, and there's a church on every corner. Right? So why in the world are we starting another church? What are we doing here? What's the point in all of this? What's the purpose in it? We can ask the same question basically about our lives. Have you ever got to that, that point in your life, you know, looking around? Maybe you guys haven't got to the midlife crisis. I've had like 6. You know? You think, well, what am I doing here? Well, what am I doing here? Why am I here? What's the point in all of this? What's the point in my existence? You think of a church, first service here, first Sunday, Harvest Baptist Church. Why in the world are we doing this? And then you think about your life. Why in the world are you here? What's the point? You know? And I think that's a really good place to start. I believe that's the most important thing that we need to establish as individuals, so that we have a little bit of direction and perspective in our lives, but also for a church. Because why? If we can understand our purpose, if we can get that biblical purpose before this church, in front of this church, so that everything we do goes behind that purpose, and that purpose leads us in everything that we do, in every decision that we make, in all the activities of this church. If we do that, then we're not going to have that big danger of falling into a ditch on the side. We're not going to be falling into those pitfalls. All of the things that take good churches off of the Bible, the Bible perspective. So if we can get our idea, if we can get an understanding of what our purpose is, if we can define that purpose and put it in the forefront of everything that we do, then hopefully we can avoid some of the pitfalls that exist for ministries today. Okay? So here's our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay? Now if you guys have, I know some of you guys have read through the Westminster Confession, that's where I stole it from, okay? I'm not an original thinker. I confess it. That's me. I stole it. But, okay, here, we're going to develop this biblically. Okay? Our purpose is a two-sided coin. We are here to glorify God, but we're not only here to glorify God. Why? Well, because God is love, God is good, God is omnibenevolent. You ever heard that one? Omnibenevolent. You know what omni is? Omni, total. Everything, right? Benevolent. Good. God is all good always. Is He not? God is all good always. So He is always looking to us for our well-being. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did on the cross? Jesus Christ on the cross glorified God the Father. Why? How? By looking after our well-being. He died for our salvation. So, we're here to glorify God, and when we live to glorify God, we enjoy Him. And that flip side of that is, hey, if you're not enjoying God right now, take a good look at your life and evaluate it according to what the Bible says, because maybe you're not living in a way that is glorifying to Him. Because if you were glorifying God, you would be enjoying Him. And that's our purpose, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That purpose this week is going to lead us into our mission next week. Okay, the purpose is the big picture. Why are we here? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Next week we're going to touch on the mission, and we're going to define the what. Well, what do I got to do to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? Okay? We're going to take the first step into this purpose first. Look and see what the Bible says about why we're here. Glorify God. You know, we're here to glorify God, not man. We're here to glorify and please God, not to please man. How many problems have we caused for ourselves because we look to please men? Have you ever thought about that? You know, well, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to go preach here. I'm going to go preach there. I'm going to go speak to somebody here. I'm going to go speak to somebody there. What's those first things that come through our mind? Well, what's so-and-so going to think of that? You know? Well, that's one of the greatest fears that we have when we go out on the street, right? You go up to somebody, and that first fear is, ooh, what are they going to think about me? Right? And who are we thinking about? Are we thinking about Jesus, or are we thinking about the man? No, we're thinking about the man. We got to get our eyes on God. Okay, we're here to glorify God. But like I said, because God is omnibenevolent, He's all good, always, well, God wants us to enjoy Him. You know, God's not a slave taskmaster. It shouldn't be drudgery to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Think, well, I've got to serve Jesus or else He's going to get mad at me. Well, no, He's not. You know, all the anger of God was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. God's not going to get angry with you. You know, God wants us to enjoy Him forever, and the way to do that is to live for Him. So those two things work together to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the purpose of our existence, and I just want to set out from the outset, Harvest Baptist Church exists to glorify God so that we can enjoy Him forever. That's why we're here, okay? And any other thing, everything that we do, anything, it's got to go behind that purpose. That's it. So we're going to take these two elements apart. First, our purpose is to glorify God. Okay, look at Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. And we're going to be jumping around a lot through several different scriptures. This first series is going to be topical, so it's not going to be so much expository. But then later, of course, we're going to get into books of the Bible. Revelation 4:11, just to start us out here. Revelation 4:11. We see in Revelation 4:11 that all things were created for the glory of God. And what we're going to do, we're going to grab the big general picture, okay, what the Bible paints, and then we're going to try and move that into the specific thing about this church and you as an individual and me as an individual. So we're going to go from the general to the specific. In general, the Bible says in Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created what? All things. And for Thy pleasure, they, all things, are and were created. Everything was made for God's pleasure. Everything was made for God's glory. So, two things to say about this one. There's two ways things that are created. There's two ways that creation and creatures can glorify God. Two ways. By declaring and by doing. Okay? By declaring and by doing. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, first, creation declares the glory of God, does it not? You see that all over the place. You could take the smallest, the one-celled organism, an amoeba, look at it under a microscope, and what are you going to say? Wow. You know, wow, why? Wow. You say, wow. Why do you say, wow? Because you're looking at that, and because you see design and intelligent design, you know that there is an intelligent designer, there is a creator out there, and he is very intelligent. And what you have done by this creation has just declared to you, by its existence, has declared to you the existence of God and some of His attributes. And you have taken a look at that, the existence of God, that declaration that He exists, and you've taken a look at that, and you've seen some of His attributes, His intelligence, His design, and you said, wow. And that is a glory to God. The creation declares that. It declares that just by existence. The mere existence declares God, His existence, His attributes. It's a glory to Him. But also verbally. You know, we can declare the glory of God. We can declare God's existence and God's attributes to the world, and that's a glory to God. A lot of times when we went out street preaching in Costa Rica, one of the things, you know, people say, well, how many people are in your church because of your street ministry? And for the longest time, we didn't see hardly any fruit through our street ministry. And then it finally, you know, started to pick up. But I tell them, nobody. And they say, well, why are you doing it? Well, Jesus Christ, who is stripped naked, the maker of the world, the creator, our God, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, had the wrath of God that I deserve poured out on Him. He took my hell when He was crucified on the cross publicly, shamefully, and then died, was buried for me, and I won't get up on a box. and brag about him in front of the world? You see, verbally, we can declare the existence and the attributes of God. That pleases God. Okay, that pleases God. So we can declare the glory of God. We can declare his existence and his attributes, and that will glorify and please him. And the second thing is doing. Okay, declaring and doing. You say, well, what do you mean by doing? Well, there's two things here, declaring and doing. First, you know, when the creation does that which God designed it to do, that pleases God. That brings glory to him. Okay? You think about, there's a lot of things. Look, I think probably one-third of the automobiles out on the highway carry the name Ford. You know, it's not a third, it's 25%. You know, and the pickups out there, if somebody wants a pickup, what do they get? An F-150. You know? Ford. Well, why Ford? Anybody remember? I know some of you guys are a whole lot more intelligent than me. Who invented the Ford? It was a guy named Chevy, right? I think it was a guy named Ford, right? So when this guy named Ford invents a car and he builds a car and that car functions as it should, everybody stands back and says, that guy's smart. Look what he did. Wow. And then his invention, his creation, is a glory to his name. Even to this day, his name is plastered on the back of cars. And when creation does what it's supposed to do, that's pleasing to God. He says, I made it that way. I made it that way, and look, it's running the way I built it. You know, the stars in the sky, a deer, a raccoon, birds, they function like God wants them to function. And that brings glory to his name. Again, why? Because people have to take a step back and they see the existence of God. It's obvious there's a creator by the creation, and they can see certain of his attributes in that. So when creation does what it's supposed to do, God is glorified. God is glorified. Okay, now here in just a sec, we're going to run into the problem. Okay, the problem is not so much with animals and rocks and birds and stuff like that. What's the problem? Yeah, you're the problem, you know? I'm the problem. We're the problem. Why? Because we don't do what God wants us to do. And when creation does not do what God wants it to do, that displeases God. Okay? It's just like you. When you're trying to fix something and it doesn't get fixed, how do you feel? You know, you put the faucet on, and you put the Teflon tape on, and then you put silicone in a ball around the joint, you know, so that you hope that and the water comes out. How do you feel? Joyous, right? Just the joy bubbling up inside. No, you're upset. Why? Because what you did doesn't work like you want it to work. It doesn't please you. And it's the same way with us. So we can glorify God first. We need to declaring and doing, okay? By declaring the existence and attributes of God, we glorify him, we please him. And by doing what he designed us to do, that brings him glory and pleasure. Okay? Now that brings us to another division we need to make. Okay? The other division we need to make from this passage, Revelation 4:11, from here, seeing all of creation was designed by God for his glory, either through a declaration or a doing, there's two general groups that can glorify God. Okay? There's two general groups that either by what they do or what they declare glorify God. And first, the first group is the whole big group. You could just call it matter. Everything God made. Everything God made in some way, shape, or fashion can or does glorify God. This is Psalm 19, okay? Psalm 19:1. You could probably, we won't read it, but if you want to jot down, I think it's Romans 1:19-20. It's the same idea that creation declares the creator. But just look at Psalm 19:1. Psalm 19:1, just talking about matter, all of creation, the rocks, the animals, whatever. God made it. It glorifies God simply because it's there. Its existence speaks of God and glorifies God. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Okay, this is what we talked about before. Things that exist, they speak about God by just their existence. God is the designer, his creation functioning according to his design. That brings him glory and pleasure. But the problem is with the second group. It's not the big group of everything God created. The other group is what causes the problem. And it's the other group in which we find ourselves. Moral creatures. Okay, moral creatures. A dog is not a moral creature. Okay, a dog is just a dog. Okay, it has instincts. You say, my dog loves me. No, you feed him. Okay, yeah, that's why he likes you. Yeah, moral creatures can basically, angels and men. Okay, and I use angels in the general sense of spiritual beings, cherubim, seraphim, angels, those spiritual beings. Because why? Well, we know that certain angels fell. Lucifer fell, took a third of the angels with him, or portion of them at least. Okay? They are the demons, the devils, moral creatures. We're moral creatures. We talk about moral creatures. We talk about a creature, a creation, a person, an individual that has the capacity to discern good and evil, and he also has the free will to choose good or evil. Okay? Do you fall into that category? Okay. You can discern good and evil, and you can choose. Now, moral creatures, like I said, angels, and men, when we choose to do what is right, that brings glory to God. That pleases Him because He's the Creator. He made us with a certain specific purpose in mind. When we live according to the Creator's will and His plan, His purpose that He has built into us, we please Him and glorify Him. And everything works great. Like I said, you glorify God, you enjoy Him forever. Okay? The problem comes in when we choose not to live according to God's design. That does not bring glory to God, and that does not please Him. And that robs us of our joy. And that's why I think at the outset of this church it's very important that we define what we're all about. Okay? We're all about this glorifying God. We need to live in such a way that God is pleased. Not to gain salvation, but so everything works like it's supposed to work, you know? I mean, you could drive a nail with a TV set, couldn't you? Well, you could put some nails, you build in the house, you grab your TV set, okay, that big 50-inch flat-screen plasma TV, boy, and get to driving nails, couldn't you? For a while, right? I mean, it's like the guy today, the Christian, okay, you want to put it, you know, between quotes, maybe he's a Christian, maybe he's not, but the Christian who just lives like he wants to live and not according to God's plan. It's like driving nails with a TV set. You can do it for a while and it'll work, but what's going to happen? Well, you're going to ruin your TV, right? And then you're not going to be able to drive the nails anymore. But if you get a hammer, okay, a specific tool that's designed to drive nails, you can drive nails all day, couldn't you? And when we as Christians live according to the plan that God has built into us, His plan and His purpose, His design, when we live according to what He says He needs in us, He wants in us, well, we could drive nails all day long. We can go the rest of our life glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. So look at Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. I know this is another one of those verses that as soon as you see it, you know what I'm going to say. Yeah, all of creation exists for one purpose. All of creation exists to glorify God and to please Him. God made everything for His glory. God made everything to declare His own existence and His attributes. He made everything to be pleasing to Himself. It says in Romans 11:36, "For of Him," speaking of God, "for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." All things, everything, made for God's pleasure, made for God's glory. It's all for Him, by Him, to Him. He gets it all. So everything around us, all of creation is made to glorify God. And so that means that we as individuals, we as a church, what's our purpose? It's the same thing, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's easy. We have been made to glorify God. We're here to glorify God. Look at it in the Old Testament. Okay, just to get specific here, just for a minute about Isaiah is where I want to go. Isaiah. When God called out Israel, what was His plan and purpose in calling out Israel? Isaiah 43:7. Isaiah 43:7. God's people in the Old Testament were called out by God Himself in order to do what? Isaiah 43:7. Everyone that is called by my name, says God. He says, for I have created him for what? For my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God called out men. He called out Israel for a specific purpose. He called out his people in the Old Testament for his own glory, to glorify himself. And it's the same way today. Ephesians, go to Ephesians 3:21. Ephesians 3:21. Okay, now on this side of the cross, in the church age, when God is making one body out of both Jew and Gentile alike, what's God's purpose in forming the church? What's God's purpose in calling us out, a called out assembly? What's the purpose? Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him, Jesus Christ, unto God, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's it. The church exists, universal church, local church, the church exists for the glory of God. We're here to glorify God. So, as a church, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? You guys get tired of flipping back and forth, aren't you? First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're going to be doing a lot of things in the near future as a church. There'll be a lot of things that we can do. We're going to be out on the streets. We're going to be putting together, you know, discipleship material. We're going to have barbecues. You know, people are going to invite me to their house and give me gifts. Amen. Okay. No, we're going to be doing a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of activities. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Okay? What's the point? What do we have in the forefront of our mind in everything that we do? This is it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should glorify God. Everything we do should be evaluated by Scripture. So as a church, you know, you look at this, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat, okay, ye, that ye, second person, what?
Plural.
He's talking to the church, folks. Ye, it's y'all. It's at y'all, okay? Ye. It's a church body. This church body exists. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. How about us as individuals? Look at 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. And we're kind of diving into Peter's discourse on gifts and stuff like that, but I think the point can be well taken, even though we don't grab the whole context here. 1 Peter 4:11. First Peter 4:11, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. He's talking about gifts. He's basically saying, whatever gift you have, do it. Do it as God's given it to you. You know? If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You're different than I am. You have a different personality than I do. You have different gifts and abilities. I mean, we're all different. But still, your life as an individual and my life as an individual is for one purpose. What we do and everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. It ought to be to please Him. That's what we're all about. So, here it is. First point in summary. We're here to glorify God, right? The purpose of our existence, the reason for which we were created and placed on this earth at this time, is to glorify God. It is to magnify Him. It is to exalt Him in everything that we say and do. By declaring and doing, we are to glorify God. We're the moral creatures. We can choose to do that, or we can choose to not do that. God's given us that ability for now. Okay? In eternity, it's different, isn't it? But for now, we have the ability to choose. We can either choose to declare God's existence and God's attributes to the world or not, and we can choose to do those things which please Him or not. Okay? But there's one more element we need to add to this, right? Because, you know, God deserves our glory. God deserves our worship and our praise. He deserves to be glorified and magnified in everything we do and say. Right? But you see, there's that other aspect. We're here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And it's that other aspect I think we lose sight of too often. Why? Well, number one, that it's a me-focused, you know? It's a me-focused thing. I get to enjoy God. It's me. It's all about me. You know, and that's kind of the battle cry of the church these days. It's me church, you know? Well, I didn't find a parking spot, so I don't want to stay. Well, I don't like the bathrooms. They're not clean, you know? I don't like this. It's all about me rather than God. So when we get to this part, we say, yeah, I'm here to glorify God. It seems a little odd to then turn it back around and look at me and say, you know what? The purpose I have in life, part of that purpose is to enjoy God forever. That I have joy because of God. But that's God's purpose in this, okay? We're going to see this because now, enjoying God today, you know what that does? That glorifies Him. I'll show you why. I'll show you why just in a minute. 1 John 4:8. Let's start here. 1 John 4:8. Okay, that's in your New Testament. Start in Genesis and start moving toward Revelation. And you will find 1 John. First John 4:8. I always think it's funny you tell people to go to Proverbs 31 or Proverbs 32. You know, let's look at Proverbs 32:15. It's so funny. So you hear the pages just the shuffling, you know, and you just wait for them, you know, and then they start snickering and then offerings go down. 1 John 4:8 to 10. Okay, now this is obviously a point that's been belabored too much to the point of skewing the character and attributes of God, but it's still, this is what the Bible says. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. In this way manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is for us. God's love is to us. The greatest manifestation of the love of God was the work that He did for our greatest well-being. I have well-being right now. My being is well. Right? Isn't yours? Okay, well, problems in life. I have problems in life. Of course I have problems in life. I have three children. Okay? I'm glad I got a wife to take care of my three problems. But look, you have Jesus Christ. What's the worst that can happen? Gee, you die and go to heaven, you know? And if you got to wait a few years in pain and misery to get there, so what? 5 minutes inside of eternity, all the pain and misery of this life won't matter. Well, God did that for you. Why did God do that for you? Are you such a spanky, shiny person that God just says, oh, wow, I just want to love them? No, you are unlovable. Okay? The Bible refers to you as a worm. That's you. That's me. We were unlovable. We were enemies. We spit in the face of God. We stripped His Son and nailed Him to a cross. And we allowed Him to take the wrath that we deserve without taking a second look. Frankly, we just turned our back and walked away. And God, after He died for us, came looking for us. I wasn't looking for God in 1988 when He came to save me. I wanted nothing to do with Him. I don't know what your testimony is. God died for me. God came looking for me. God chose to love me when I was unlovable. When frankly, I deserved the opposite of His love. And so, this is God's love. God's love comes from His omnibenevolence. Okay, I mean, you might get tired of that term. I don't care. I like it. And I get to be the pastor today. You know? Omnibenevolence. God is all good always. That's comfort for us. Isn't it? Don't we go through problems? Don't you ever get angry with God and bitter with God? God, why did you do that? Why did you do that? I deserve more than that, you know? Well, now, wait a minute. You need to sit down, look at God's goodness. God is all good. That means everything He does always is good. That's comforting. Because sometimes life isn't comforting. That's because He loves us. And He loves us. Now, listen to this. His love is perfect. It's not like our love. No, His love is perfect. His love is infinite. It doesn't stop. And His love in Christ, folks, is unconditional. You don't have to do anything to get it. If you are in Christ, God loves you perfectly, infinitely, and without condition. Forever. Can't lose it. I think that's a good deal. I like that. Because, you know, I'm not that way. I mean, I'll give you my love if you love me. If not, well, maybe. But maybe not. I mean, we're just that way. We're fickle. God's not that way. Well, because God is love, because God is all good always, you know what His delight is? God delights in those that delight in Him. God joys. He finds joy and pleasure in the fact that you find joy and pleasure in Him. Okay, let's read a couple of verses back to the Psalms. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 86, 4 and 5, and then we're going to jump over to Psalm 144. But first, Psalm 86, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist says, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." He's rejoicing in the Lord. He says, "For thou, Lord, art," what is the word?
Good.
"And ready to forgive." I mean, doesn't that make you want to draw nigh unto the Lord? Okay, you're good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. That is the rejoicing of a soul that knows God. That, like in the Psalm 73 that we read, that's when the psalmist drew nigh unto God, and then he could put everything in perspective. Yes, the wicked prosper today. Yeah, sometimes we are in tribulation. But you know what? It's good to know the Lord because He's good. He's good. I mean, that's all there is in Him. It's just good. There's no bad. It's all good. There's not even any neutral. It's good. It's all good. Look at Psalm 144:15. Psalm 144:15. Isn't that just a funny word to be in the Bible? You know, that first word right there. Psalm 144:15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And when we're talking about this whole issue, okay, we're here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. When we talk about enjoying God, we talk about having joy in God, even when this verse uses that word, happy. Do you know what? We're not talking about this silly, let's dance around, let's be happy, superficial kind of nonsense. We're talking about the joy that God gives us that is an anchor for our soul, that is based upon Jesus Christ and His work. It is based solely upon His word. And it is a joy that has such a deep and profound impact in our lives that it will change the course of how we live. It's not how do I feel today during the music service or how do I feel. No, it is that joy that comes from saying, yes, I form part of the people of God. And then that gives us that joy that adjusts the course of our life as we follow God in order to please Him. It's like this. Look, God loves us. God's called our Heavenly Father, right? God loves us. Because He loves us, He is always striving actively, every moment of every day, to accomplish what is good for us. That's Romans 8:28-29, right? That everything happens in our life for good. And so, one of the things God enjoys is when we rest in that truth to the point that we actually enjoy God and we enjoy His love. That we don't think we have to do things to get His love. We do things because we have His love, but more so, we simply draw nigh unto God. Why? Because we joy and delight in Him. God delights in us when we delight in Him. God enjoys it when we enjoy Him. Okay, then in the example, here's the example, earthly fathers. Okay, I'm a dad, got three kids. Okay? For a father that loves his son, loves his daughter, okay, whatever. What brings him the greatest joy? What brings the greatest delight to his heart more than anything? Okay? It's not an Amazon gift certificate, although that's pretty close. Okay? But seriously, think about it. The greatest joy and delight is when your son simply loves you and enjoys being with you because you're his father. He just likes being with you. He doesn't like being with you because you play catch with him. He doesn't like being with you because you buy him things. He likes being with you because you're his dad. And he just wants to just hang out with you. And just be there. Doesn't have to talk, just hang out. Why? Because he knows you love him and he loves you. Now tell me that doesn't give you great satisfaction and great pleasure. How much more God, who has a perfect love and who's not egotistical in his love like we are. God enjoys it when we enjoy him. God delights in the fact that we delight in him. And frankly, God is glorified and pleased when we enjoy in him, when we joy in our salvation. God's glorified when we enjoy him. Why? Because your joy proclaims to this world God's faithfulness. How in the world can you, Christian, how in the world can we, trying to live righteously according to Scripture, in a sinful world, in a sinful and dead body, how in the world can we today enjoy God? You ever think about that? Okay, because why? Revelation 21. In the future, do you know what? It's going to be easy to joy in God. In the future, it's going to be easy to enjoy God. Look what God does for us. Revelation 21. Okay, now we know, because Scripture says, we know that there will be joy unspeakable in eternity. Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, 1. I'm going to read over to verse 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now look at verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And behold, he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for the words are true and faithful. Folks, in eternity future, after the millennium, when God has the new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, there's no more tears, there's no more death, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow. You know, every day you will live every moment with joy unspeakable. Today's different, isn't it? Okay, today's different. And that's why to joy in God today, to enjoy Him and to delight in Him in a sin-cursed world, in bodies of death, that's why it's a glory to God. Why? Look, our joy in God today glorifies Him because it is a faith-based joy. It's not emotional. Might result in emotion someday, might not result in emotions another day. It is a faith-based joy. What do we mean by that? It is a faith-based delight. It is a joy and a delight based on, number one, God's existence, and number two, His attributes. It is based on the fact that we believe He is there and that He loves us. It's joy based on this right here. Nothing more, nothing less. What you know about God, yeah, you can understand, you can look at creation and understand certain things about God, that He exists and certain of His attributes. But you will not know God as the person that He is until He communicates with you. And God has communicated with us through Scripture. We believe God, we believe His Word. And because of that, we believe, folks, all is well in Jesus Christ. isn't it? Yes, it is. Look, all is well in Jesus Christ, and so we can have joy. We can enjoy God even though we suffer in this world, physical pain, emotional pain, even though we go through tribulations in life, even though we experience difficulties, everything that life can throw at us. Folks, all we have to do is draw nigh unto God like the psalmist we read in Psalm 73, draw nigh unto God and get our perspective back. Folks, Jesus died for us. Jesus took the wrath of God. We have an eternity set for us in Jesus Christ. It's taken care of. We didn't have to do anything for it. God did it all. Why? Because He loved us. And He's good. He's all good always. It's okay. We were going to have problems in this life, but folks, man, come on. All spiritual blessings in Christ. You know where your problems come in? Problems come in when you start trying to drive nails with your television set. When you start trying to live your life according to your own idea of how you ought to live it. Rather than drawing nigh unto God, getting your perspective from Scripture and living for Him. Look, we know what we have. If you don't know what you have, you can. That's why we have the Bible. We know who gave it to us. It's God our Creator in and through Jesus Christ. And we know what awaits us in eternity, folks. No more sin, suffering, and death. Nothing. Nothing to cause you pain or discomfort. It's all taken care of. So what do we have to do? We have to live this life, 70, 80 years that we got. And I'm looking out and seeing a lot of gray hairs. You ain't got 70 left, folks. You don't. We're winding down. I mean, we're on the back side of the mountain. It's it. It's almost over. So what? Well, we don't have to throw in the towel. We can joy and enjoy God today. We can. And folks, it's that. It's look at 1 Peter 1:8. Look how Peter says it. First Peter 1:8. First Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, okay, talking of Jesus Christ in verse 7, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet, what's the word? Believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That word believing, okay, ing, participle, okay, verbal adjective that describes what follows, basically it tells us that we can rejoice if we believe. How do we rejoice? By believing. Believing. Believing in the promises of God, believing in the character of God. We can rejoice. And that's why, folks, it's a glory to God when we enjoy Him today. When we joy in God today, do you know what we're doing? We joy in God today. Well, look at the opposite. When we get bitter at God, you know what we do?
Well, I thought I deserved more. Look at I mean, the pagans out there, they got cars and they got a nice house. Well, I got this and that. You complain, and then the world looks at that and they say, wow,
God's really taking care of him, isn't he? And it is an insult to the character of God. Our not joying in God are accusations against God, are declarations of his character to the world. When we don't joy in God, we're telling everybody, yeah, God is unjust. God's not good. And yet, in the middle of life's difficulties, in the middle of the tribulations and the pain and everything else, when we can find our joy, contentment in God. Now, I'm not talking about the slap happy silliness. No. But when you are steady in God and you give Him honor and praise. Yeah, it's difficult, but you know what? God's taking care of me. He's took care of me for years and He's still taking care of me. You know what that says to the world? God's good. God's trustworthy. That gives praise and glory and honor to God. Our joy and enjoying of God and delighting in Him declares to the world the existence and attributes of our God. It says to the world, God is good. And it declares what our God is to him. So we will enjoy God forever in eternity. Therefore, we can enjoy God today. Now listen to this. Okay. When's eternity start? Well, that was a trick question. Okay. That's a trick question. Nobody fell into it. Well, eternity is eternity. I mean, duh. But it's just by definition, it doesn't start, right? Okay. Eternal life. I have eternal life. Bible says that when I got Christ, I got eternal life. John 5:24. Okay? Passed from death to life, not going to come into condemnation. I have eternal life, right? So why in the world do you continue to think that eternity starts after the millennium? Why do you continue to think that your eternal life is going to start after death? Well, no, wait a minute. We have life in Christ. Eternal life in Christ. Life that Jesus Christ himself said was abundant life. Life that comes from a father to a son. We are sons of God, born of the Spirit, born into the family of God. God will never disown us. When did that start? Point, you got saved. When God regenerated you. When God gave you life. Folks, we don't have to wait for eternity. We don't have to wait for Revelation 21 to joy in God. We don't have to wait for that joy unspeakable. Believing, we can have it today. If we have Jesus Christ, and if we are living for him. So here's the point in all this. This is my conclusion, okay? This is it. If we are living in a way that glorifies God, we will be enjoying him. That's where we started from. Look, if we're not enjoying God, if you are not enjoying God today, if you don't find joy in God, if joy is not something you find inside, if serving Christ right now is a drudgery for you, you're like, ah, duty. Duty is what drives you. And I know there's those seasons of life, right, where, yeah, there's some things you just got to grit your teeth and walk through the desert, okay, and it's dry. Okay, and praise the Lord for duty and in those times. But look, overall, look at your life overall in Jesus Christ. Take a snapshot right now. You got joy? I mean, do you enjoy God? You enjoying him right now? You can enjoy him forever. You can enjoy him forever because you have eternal life. From the day you got eternal life, you can enjoy God, are you? And if not, why not? Because if you're living in a way that glorifies God, you will be enjoying him. God will see to it that you enjoy him. God will. Why? Because he's good and he wants your well-being. That's just how it works. Well, that's the design that God has built into our existence. It's the way he made us. It's the purpose he placed in us. We're designed by God to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. As individuals and as a church. Okay? So we're not here to glorify and please men. I'm sorry. I know it's going to be a disappointment for many of you. We are not a seeker-sensitive church. No, I take that back. We are. You know what Romans says? There are none that seek God. God seeks us. So let's be a real seeker-sensitive church. You know, I mean, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. We're here to glorify and please God, not man. We're here to enjoy God, not what the world has to offer. You know, I'm sorry we don't have a music service yet. So, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, the scripture doesn't change. And as we gather together, we can joy in him. Okay. So we're here to glorify God, please him. That's our focus. That's what it needs to be. That's what I will strive as pastor to keep. Our focus on doing things for the glory of God. To please him so that we can enjoy him by believing him and living according to his plan for our lives. We're here to enjoy him. He wants our best, and he is the best. There's nothing better that we could do except put our faith and trust in him, believe him, and live the way that he has designed us to live. Okay? So, what's our purpose? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Two-sided coin. Okay? If we live to glorify God, we will enjoy Him forever. Okay? That's our purpose. Begs the question, though, doesn't it? Well, what do we need to do in order to glorify God? We need to live according to His design, right? We need to do the things that He has designed us to do. It's the hammer driving the nails rather than the TV. Okay. What are we supposed to do? Well, that's next week. Okay, that's our mission. That gets us into the nuts and bolts of, okay, here is God's purpose. How do we fulfill that purpose? We are to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I want to glorify God with what I do and declare. How can I do that? What's God expect of me? So that when I am doing that, then I will find my joy unspeakable in Jesus Christ. Because I am believing that, following that, and doing what God has designed me to do. In that is glory to God and joy for me. Everything works like God designed. So that's next week. Same time, same channel. Y'all are invited back. We will be in a different location. But that's where we're heading. Anybody got any comments before we close in a word of prayer? All right. Let's pray and thank God for the time we have.